Exodus 15. Let's read all 21 verses. It's the Song of Moses. We'll not be able to deal fully with every verse, so let's read all of this first. Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake or sang, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods or rulers? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Thy people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes or rulers of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This is the first song recorded in Scripture. The very first song sung, or that is recorded, that was sung. I'm certain there were other songs. I'm certain that Abel sang, Adam and Eve sang. You know they did. Noah, they all sang unto the Lord, certainly. But this is the first recorded song. It is referred to by David in the song. It is referred to by Isaiah. It is written of and spoken of in the last book of the Bible. Right now, as we meet, as we look at this song, they are singing this song in glory. And we will be with them someday, Lord willing, if we learn this song now. And we will be singing this song forever, forever, as well as this song of the Lamb. So we need to learn this song, don't we? All right, first of all, who sang this song? Who sang this song? Verse 1 says, "And Moses, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song." Moses and the children. Moses was God's man, sent by God, God's shepherd, God's pastor, if you will, God's redeemer, God's deliverer. Moses was the one, the man, the mediator between God and man, the man Moses. So he represents who? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is all those things. Zephaniah chapter 1. Go over there. This is Sister Jeanette's, one of her favorites. Passages. Zephaniah 3. I'll give you time to find it. Okay, time's up. I had an hour or two to find it. Zephaniah 3. Look at this. Zephaniah 3. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sang this song. He sang. Look at Zephaniah 3, verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." He will say, who's he speaking of? The Lord Jesus Christ. "He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy." You remember when he said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. And they ate it and then they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn right after that and went out. Read on. "He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly," and so forth. So Moses sang this, who represents the Lord, our Redeemer. He sang. Moses was just a man. No, he was just a man. He was the leader. He was the one who taught the people his song. You can't teach people a song that you don't sing yourself. I'm trying to teach you a song that I sing, that I love. I'm singing this song. I love this song. I cannot preach to you a gospel that I don't believe with all my heart. This is my song. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is the message. Who sang this song? Well, Moses, the leader of the people. He sang. He was a song leader. And then the people. Look at verse 1. The children of Israel. The children sang this song. Children born of God, born by His Word, begotten of God by the incorruptible Word. Those who desire the sincere milk of the Word. These children, humble, little ones, little in their own eyes. The children of Israel. Jacob. Jacob have I loved. The elect sing this song. The only ones that really know it. The only ones that really know this song. All right. When did they sing this song? When did they sing this song? Look at chapter 14. You know, verse 1 there begins with "then sang." Well, when? Well, look at verse 30 of chapter 14. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, their captors. They were in bondage to them. Israel saw the Egyptians dead. They saw what God did to their enemies, their captive, their captor on the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians." Who did the work? Who delivered them? Who saved them? Who did it? Did he do part of it? Did he do all of it? "Ask all the children of Israel." And all the children of Israel will say, "The Lord did it all." They'll all tell you, Christ is all. In salvation and everything. And deserves all the glory. And the people, what? Feared the Lord. And believed the Lord. And they believed His servant. They believed His servant. So when did they sing this? When they saw the great work that the Lord did for them. Then they sang. They were delivered. These were people that were in bondage. Those Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees? You know, they were religious. They seemed to worship God. And they knew the Bible and so forth. And the Lord one time was speaking of if the truth, you know, the truth shall make you free. And they said, we be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. Ask Abraham's seed. They'll all tell you, we're all in bondage. And we're still, to this day, to a certain degree, in bondage, aren't we? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death that has me in bondage? Who? I thank God. Through Christ our Lord, the Redeemer. There's only one Redeemer. Only one Deliverer. And this song is all about Him. And all of them. You know, everyone says the children of Israel, doesn't it? That's what the Lord called His disciples. They were grown men. He said, little children. He always called them little children. Are you little in your eyes? Huh? Little children. I mean little children. Infants, toddlers. They believe you, don't they? You tell them something. They're going to believe you. And they're going to listen with enthusiasm, aren't they? Really? You tell them anything. They say, wow. They're just in awe of it. They trust you implicitly that you're telling them the truth. And they receive it with enthusiasm, with joy. And they're teachable, aren't they? Little children, they're teachable. What do you know? What do we know? What do I know? What do I know? Paul said, I preach in part. I know in part. And all that. We're still learning, aren't we? Still, we need to still be babes in attitude. But men in discernment. But it says the children of Israel. The children. And you remember last week we looked at Samuel serving the Lord even before he knew Him. You remember that? I'm sure you remember every single point of that message I asked you. No, you don't. I don't. But we looked at how that Samuel was just a 5 or 6 year old boy at the time. His mother brought him and turned him over to Eli. And he says he served the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. She committed him, her son, her only son whom she loved, to the Lord whom she loved more. And committed that child to him, to the Lord. And he didn't know the Lord. It says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but he served the Lord. He did, didn't he? And you know, we bring our children here before they know the Lord. We're bringing them here so that they will know the Lord. This is the way they'll know the Lord. How shall they hear without a preacher? The people heard everything they heard from the Lord through Moses, didn't they? Right? They believed Moses, that he was God's man. And they heard him, and they brought their children. Well, we do the same. So we teach them to worship the Lord. We teach them to sing these songs. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But what? Sing. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, the scripture said. The children of the heavenly King will speak their songs abroad. So, children. What a great cause we have to sing. Huh? What great reason. It is our reasonable service, but it's our great joy. Now, think about that. They didn't sing when they were in Egypt under bondage. There's no record of them singing. This song wasn't written yet. And they weren't singing. You know what they were doing? Sighing. Groaning in bondage. But when God sent the promise before He delivered them. You remember we looked at that? You remember that message, I know. How they all gathered and the Lord and Moses told them the good news of what was going to happen before it happened. He told them the end from the beginning and they all gathered and they were all so glad and they bowed their head and they worshiped. You remember that? Well, let everyone sing. Let the Amen sound from His people again. But even before we reach the heavenly shore, we need to start singing. Our children need to start singing. They need to learn these songs, the songs of Zion. Now, how did they sing? How was this song sung? I'll tell you. I'll look up these scriptures for you. Look at our text, Exodus 15. It says, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. How did they sing it? Unto the Lord. There's only one way you can sing unto the Lord. From your heart. Unto the Lord. Why do we sing these songs? Why don't we have a choir up here with all the beautiful robes and everybody, for everybody to look at and hear? For just that reason. Get the flesh out of this, okay? Get the flesh. This is unto the Lord. Why don't we have the big bands, entertainment? Because that's just what it is, entertainment. Get the flesh out of. God is not worshipped with men's hands, with flesh. He's worshipped in the spirit. The Father seeketh us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth. You learn the truth. You learn who Christ is and what He did. Boy, you'll sing. And you won't sing to be seen or heard. You'll sing from your heart unto the Lord. God forbid that we should sing any other way. But we do, don't we? Sad to say, we sing these songs by rote. We learn these songs and we keep singing them. And often we sing them not understanding, not fully entering into what we sing. And I hate that, don't you? Don't you wish? And we ought to pray before we come here. I do about preaching. We ought to pray that we'll enter into the singing and the preaching from our hearts as unto the Lord. Not be so self-conscious. You know how we'd sing if we weren't so self-conscious? What? I have a bad voice. What's so-and-so going to think of me? Who cares? This is unto the Lord. Okay. He said, make a joyful what? Noise. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, as they say. The only instrument you may be able to play is a radio, as they say. But you can make a noise unto the Lord. You can make a joyful noise. They did. And listen to Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Shall I continue? Yes, I shall. Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord. A new song. Sing unto the Lord. All the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Every time you meet every Lord's Day, you show forth His salvation. Nothing else. Nothing else. Psalm 98. Listen to this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory, and the Lord hath made known His salvation. Shall I go on? One more. And it's not the last, but I've got time for one more. Psalm 101. I will sing. David says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing unto Thee. Hearts made glad with the heart. How did they sing this song? It was unto the Lord. It was from the heart. If redeemed, if delivered, you will sing from the heart unto the Lord. You will. You know, Jeanette will tell you this. She's a vocal teacher, and she'll tell you that good singing is from the diaphragm in them. You try to teach people, a lot of people sing from the head, nasally and all that. There's no volume, there's no depth, you know what I'm saying? And that's okay. But really good singing is from the diaphragm. Oh! Those opera singers and all that, you probably don't like them. I don't either, but they're singing from the depth of their being. And that's where singing comes from. right here. Not the head. You will not sing unto the Lord if you know just no doctrine in your head. And boy, if the Lord has really delivered you, made your heart glad by the work Christ has done for you, you'll sing from the heart. You won't care what other people think about it. I don't particularly like to sing solos or specials. Do you, John? I don't do it. But before the Lord saved you, you love to get up in front of people and show off. That's what it's all about with it. It's entertainment. He's being honest. That's what it's all about. Look at me. Look at my talent. Look at all this. And when the Lord shows us His glory, His honor, His work, you become nothing and nothing at all. I have no talent. I have nothing. You want to shut your mouth forever. You don't want anybody to look at you or listen to you ever again. But then when you're called on, and John began to call on John to sing. And it's a humbling thing, isn't it? It's a fearful thing. He once sang before, probably thousands. And now it's just a little flock, you know. And it's a fearful thing. It's a trembling thing to sing before. But we do it unto the Lord. Not for your entertainment, but for God's glory. God's glory. That's how they sang. What were they singing? I'll tell you the key they were singing in. I am certain of this. The key they were singing in. Somebody tell me. Middle C. Who came up with middle C? Huh? Christofori, some fellow that was supposed to have invented a piano, he thought, well, I want to have, we got to tune the whole piano to one note in order to play music in concert, in tune. So what I'll do is make this middle note, and what shall I call it? C. Oh. See, Christ is all in it. Everything in the universe is in tune with Him, for His glory and His honor. If you're not in tune with this message of Christ, you're flat or you're sharp. Concert. That's what a congregation does, sing in concert. With the concerted effort, that is a united effort to glorify Christ. It might be the key of G, grace. We're all singing grace. Grace. By grace, you say. But what were they singing? Look at verse 1. I told you wouldn't be able to deal with all these verses. We read them. It says in verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is whom we sing of. That's what this song is all about. Him. It's not about me. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's not in the Bible. Ain't nobody in there singing that song. Oh, I'll meet Mama in glory. Oh, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not. This is about the Lamb. This is about our Lord. This is all. He's our song. He's our song. They sang unto the Lord, and the Lord was their song. It says in verse 1, He triumphed. It says in verse 3, He's a man of war. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. The one that men call gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is a man of war. This is the Christ of Scripture. This is the Lord of glory. This is the true Christ of Scripture. He said, I am come to bring fire on the earth. He said, I am come to bring a sword. Why? Why? Because the enemy has his people. The enemy has his people captive. They're in bondage. And a great and a mighty enemy over them that they have no might or power over. But one stronger than he must come and bind that strong man and take him captive and spoil his goods. And that's Christ. He told me, he told every preacher in Isaiah, you comfort my people. Speak comfortably unto my people. Tell them, first thing, the warfare is accomplished. The battle for your soul You didn't fight this battle. You don't need to fight this. The battle is not yours, but the Lord. Just sit. Just stand still and see and hear the salvation of the Lord. The Lord hath triumphed. Oh, the preacher says he stands himself. Jesus done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's a lie. That's Antichrist. That's another gospel. Nobody's ever been saved under that. That means salvation is part Christ and part you. The Lord hath triumphed. This is the only gospel there is. And every man that preaches it stands up and preaches it. The Lord triumphed. Salvation is of the Lord. If he didn't, we're not saved. We're not saved. Tell them the warfare is accomplished. Tell them iniquity is pardoned. It's gone. It's gone. He kept saying that the enemy is drowned in the sea, dead. They all saw that. And everyone in glory knows why they're there, because Christ triumphs. Christ put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. He goes on to say, the Lord at thy right hand, verse 6, thy right hand become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord. He keeps. Do you see how many times he talked about the Lord's hand? The Lord's hand. The Lord saved Israel that day with a high hand, with a mighty arm. And I remember you bringing this up in a message, that the Lord had made bare his holy arm to his people, to his children. Religion across the board, doesn't matter what denomination it is, they all say that God has no hand but your hand. Everyone, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Southern Baptist, you name it. All false religion says that. But to his people, he's made bare his holy arm. His people see his mighty hands, and they see everything that's in his hand. They see that salvation was in his hand. They see those nail-scarred hands, and they see their names in those hands. And if those hands didn't triumph, they are not saved. He did it. He's the mighty hand of God. He's the right arm of God. Christ is the hand of God. Oh, God has hands, all right, and they are Jesus Christ. And when he rose from the grave, triumphant over sin, hell, and death, he showed his disciples what? His hands. His hands. Why do you keep saying that, preacher? Because we're going to be saying it throughout eternity. We're going to be singing it. His hands. His hands. His hands. He made bare his holy arm to his people, like your father. Did your father ever do that? When you were a kid, show you his muscle. He thought, there ain't nobody on earth got a muscle big as my dad. Well, probably. But there ain't nobody on earth or heaven as mighty and powerful as my God, as my Christ. And he's made bare his holy arm unto his people. And they see that it's all his might and his power. And that's what they sing. That's the song. You learned this song? He's great, he's excellent. He's the enemy he talks about. Who's like him? Verse 11. Who's like him among the gods? What's he like? Moses, glorious in holiness. I need to continue this two other messages. Never mind, but I'm not going to. Holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. His chief preeminent attribute in all things. Before his love, before his mercy, before his grace, God is holy. So God's people know that. They all know that. That's what they say. That's what they say. That's what they know. He's holy. He's just. Fearful. Are you with me? Verse 11. I want you to learn this song. Are you with me? Verse 11. Fearful. Fearful in praises. Is God to be feared? Yes. God the Bible is. Doing wonders. Stretch out your right hand, the earth swallowed up the enemy. Go on down, and I'll close. It says in verse 14, the people shall hear, everybody shall hear and be afraid. Verse 14. Everyone will hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of all of them, the rulers, the people, everybody. Fear and dread, verse 16, shall fall upon them. Every single human being will fear the Lord someday. And will confess, will bow the knee, bend the knee, and confess with their mouth. The old time on earth, all they did was blaspheme his name, take his name in vain, never called on him, never thanked him, never praised him, never would not come to his house just to sing his praise. Wouldn't do it. But now every single one day, every single thing that hath breath is going to confess he's Lord. And they're going to fear and tremble. Everyone. Wouldn't it be wise to do that now? Isn't it salvation begun, making us meet for heaven to teach us now the fear of the Lord? Come, my children, I'll teach you what? What's the first thing that David said he's going to teach them? The fear of the Lord. That's what we teach our children. That's what we teach. No fun and games. No silly little things. This ain't about fun and games. It's not about food. Not about games. No. It's about the Lord. It's about Him. So that's what we teach, the fear of the Lord. And that's all of God's people do, and all shall someday. Verse 18, the Lord. Verse 17, He'll bring His people into His inheritance. And we looked at that recently. Into His sanctuary, the sanctuary of the Lord, the church of God. The Lord shall reign, verse 18, forever and ever. That's what they're singing right now. That's what we're singing. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God reigns? Look at this world. Now, look at this world. Aren't you glad? Doesn't it make you glad? Doesn't it give you peace? Doesn't it give you peace in the midst of this present evil world that our God reigns? Now, down in verse 20, and we looked at how the people would walked over on dry land. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And brethren, understand, she never stood up and preached in front of anybody. She wasn't a preacher, not in the public place. Prophetess was always meant someone who's telling future events, but telling things that people don't know. Witnessing of the Lord. Women could do that. But they never had preeminence over a man or taught or spoke publicly to men. Never. They weren't preachers. Okay. But she taught the women this song. And oh, that you ladies might teach our young women this song. Right? What's she saying? The exact same thing that God told Moses. No different. Unlike Eve, she didn't change a word. Okay? She said, The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he. This is a song. They were singing unto the Lord. She sang of the salvation of the Lord. She sang the Lord did this work. She taught the children, she taught the women who were following her and with her, she taught them this song of Moses. How salvation is of the Lord. That's our song. Now and forever. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. For He hath done wondrous works. Amen. All right. Amen.